The Witness the World podcast represents the personal views of the host and guests at the time of recording. These views may change over time. The content here is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Any content here should not be construed as financial, medical, or any other type of professional advice. Please consult with a qualified practitioner should you require any professional advice. Good day, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of the Witness the World podcast. My name is Ben Choi, and today we'll be chatting with a pharmacist that later found a new calling in life and a different way to help people. Our guest transformed his life through meditation and personal development work, which led him to author a book and develop a wellness app. He was originally from India, but he now calls the United States of America as his home. In this episode, we will learn about his journey on how to achieve good health, happiness, and success in life. Sanjeev Nandi, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ben, for inviting me in your show. It's an honor and pleasure to be interacting with your audience. So I'm all excited.
Excellent. So Sanjeev, you were born in India, came to the United States, and became a pharmacist. Many immigrants would view that as the American dream coming true. So I've got to ask, was that the master plan all along? Just wondering if you could start us off with the story of your journey from India over to North America.
Definitely, Ben. So I was born and brought up in India. And after finishing my pharmacy schooling, I was looking for a better opportunities. I was not happy with the way my life was going on. So when I was looking for opportunities, I do have two options. I wanted to move either to London or United States. And at that time, I got the opportunity to move to London. So in 2002, I moved to London for a better opportunities, and then I worked there for 5 years as a pharmacy technician. And after working for 5 years, my life got saturated there, and I was looking for a much better opportunity to go to a different place. So that led me to come to North America, which is United States. And I came here in 2008, and I have been living here for the past 14 years. And it has been an exciting life journey, you know, transferring from India to London and to United States. As you can see, I have lived in, you know, different parts of the world. So I have a very broader perspective of how, you know, people behave and the values and culture of different countries and continents.
Thanks for that background there. So when I was reading a bit about you, you mentioned that there came a point in time in your life where you became unfulfilled working as a pharmacist. You noticed saying that you were very successful, making lots of money, but internally you weren't very happy. So what was the main driver behind the unhappiness?
So it started around 2013. So I was kind of, you know, unsatisfied, unfulfilled in my life, which was, you know, beyond my control. Some of the circumstances which I cannot control in my hand. So I was living as, you know, as any ordinary human being. I was trying to do what is necessary. I was, you know, working as a pharmacist. I was taking care of my family. But inside, you know, something was killing me from inside. I was not happy. I was not fulfilled by the way my life was going on. And I was trying to find a solution which is outside me. So I went to India a couple of times to find the solution. Okay, what is the solution? You know, I am so unhappy. My life is not how I expected it to be, and how I can fix it. And I was looking for solutions that, okay, you know, if I travel somewhere, you know, I might find a solution, or, you know, the solution is not inside me. I was looking for a solution which is definitely outside me. And after struggling for 3 or 4 years, I was still not able to find the solution. So from 2014 to 2016 ending, for 3 years, it's an on and off. I was depressed, I was not happy, and after struggling for 3 years, going into depression and coming out, you definitely have to think, what is happening? And if you don't do something at that point, where I have come to that lowest point in my life, that I know that if I don't do something, it is going downhill. And I have a kid at that time who is around 5 or 6, and I decided, I have to do something to change my life. Otherwise, this life who is dependent on me, his life will be spoiled. So that led me to, transform my life and come to a journey of self-transformation. And I think it is a very exciting journey, and I'm very happy that, I have taken this journey, which has completely transformed my life upside down, and which is definitely going to help other human beings, because, that is the purpose and meaning of my life, to help somebody else. What I have learned in this journey of, 4 or 5 years of my self-transformation.
Thanks for sharing that, Sanjeev. So if we can just maybe delve a little deeper on that, when you were, it seems like you were going down this path of depression and it was kind of going downhill a little bit. Was there a particular moment in time where, something clicked and it kind of prompted you to turn things around? Like, was there a particular, person you talked to, some kind of thing you did that kind of helped snap you and say, hey, I got to make a change? And there was this moment or an epiphany moment. Did you have one of those?
I don't have any epiphany moment, but definitely, once you are in this stage of negativity and depression for this long, you can feel inside yourself that, you have to change something. Otherwise, it is not going to make anything better. And that, in 2000 ending, I decided, this is not going to go, get better until I do something. Because we always try to find a solution outside us. We think, okay, God will help me, or my friends will help me, or my family is going to help, me. But, the actuality is you have to help yourself. Once you come to that realization that, nobody is coming for you, and if you wanted to change your life, you are responsible for your life. And if you wanted to change, you have to do something. That led me to fix a goal that in 2016, at the end, I decided I wanted to become a speaker. And that was the wildest dream, which I decided, okay, this is what I wanted to do in my life. And I started working on my wildest dream that, okay, if I can go a little far and see how far I can reach. And that led me to do different things in my life.
So one of those different things in your life that you kind of took on, you were, like I read about you, was about meditation. You somehow found that to be very helpful for you. So I'm kind of curious, like, what kind of led you to meditation? Was it someone that kind of told you, like, a tip, or you found that on your own? And what was that journey like?
So once I decided that I wanted to become a speaker, so I set a goal. And that is the first point of self-transformation journey anybody wants to do in their life. Set a goal or have an aim or a vision. And it's according to your own standard, what you wanted to do in your life. And it can be a small goal or a big goal. So once I have decided that, my mind was restless. It was going in different directions. As Ben, we go through 60 to 70,000 thoughts per day. And 90% of those thoughts are negative. And same thing was happening with me. I was thinking the same thing over and over again. I was thinking about my own problems. I was into negativity. And as I was from India, meditation has originated from India or from Buddhism. You can say either way. So I thought, okay, if people are doing meditation, I should try meditation and see whether I can have a little bit control of this restless mind. So that led me to do meditation for 5 or 10 minutes. And after doing it for 5 or 10 minutes, I was seeing improvements in my life. I was not overreacting. I was, like not overeating, because what I used to do it, I used to come home from work and I was definitely stressed. What I used to do is, eat. I used to overeat, drink. After 8 or 10 weeks, I see that, I was not overreacting. I was overeating less, my drinking habits get better. So those kind of things, which, led me to do more and more. I was, calmer, more relaxed. So that led me to dive more into it and find the scientific reason, what happens when we actually do meditation. Because unless and until you have the knowledge that, okay, what meditation is doing to my mind and my body, then only you will start doing it. Because if I say, Ben, do meditation, if you don't know the benefits, if you don't know how it is going to change you, you are never going to do it.
I see. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Sanjeev. So it sounds like you've done your due diligence, a lot of research into this, and you found out that 5 to 10 minutes, a day, it sounds like that's the optimal amount. Did you try like doing like meditation, like for an hour and then maybe a couple minutes, and then you just kind of organically figured this was the way to go for you and maybe different for other people? Maybe you could just discuss a little bit about your process there.
Okay. So Ben, let me take you a little bit, back how our mind works. So our brain is a 3-pound mass of a jelly, and it weighs around 3 pounds. And what is our brain? Its role is to keep yourself in a safe environment. It rolls and it consumes 20 to 25% of your energy. And our brain is very lazy. It tends to keep us in a healthy environment. It tends to keep us in a safe environment. So when you wanted to do some kind of change in your life, you have to train your brain to work for you. And that is the role of, what meditation does. That meditation trains or, focuses your mind to one particular thing. And coming back, how does meditation has helped me? Like scientifically, I have, dive deep into this meditation process, that if you do meditation for 5 or 10 minutes, initially I started, coming back to your question, that I started meditation 5 or 10 minutes a day. And slowly I have improved it, to 1 hour. I was doing at one point, 1 hour, maybe more than that. And what is the optimum, a one person should do? I will say it should be 20 to 30 minutes divided into, morning 15 minutes and evening 15 minutes. But I have, experimented on myself. If I do a little bit more, it does help me. And sometimes, I use myself as a guinea pig. I wanted to do, okay, I will not do meditation for a few days and I will see, what happens, inside me. And definitely, after not doing it for a couple of days, I'm again restless. I'm, again in a mode which is not calmer. But when I'm doing it on a regular basis, it is definitely, helps me. So again, meditation is not something that you do it for a few days and you leave it and you don't do it. You have to do it on a consistent basis, like, 4 or 5 days a week. And you have to keep that habit over a long period of time. If you don't do it for 1 month, just assume that you have done it for 1 year. And after that, you stop it completely for 30 days. Again, you will come back to your normal situation that you are again restless and anxious. So that is the reason, you have to do it consistently. And scientifically, I'm giving you an example. There are 3 things which happens when you do meditation on a regular basis. We have an almond-shaped structure in our brain, which is called amygdala, which is the fight and flight system. And what happens when you do meditation consistently? it decreases the electrical activity in the amygdala, which is the fight or flight system. So what happens, when the electrical activity in the amygdala decreases, you are less anxious and you are more relaxed, because that is the fight and fight system in our human brain. And once that electrical activity is decreased, the size and volume of the amygdala decreases, which means you are less anxious and less depression is also less. So that is one of the things which has been scientifically proven by Sara Lazar, who is a neuroscientist in Harvard Medical College. The second thing what meditation does is either we are left-brainers or right-brainers. Left-brainers means you are more logical, analytical, you are more a reasoning person. And right-brainers means you are more imaginative, intuitive. And either we are left-brainers or right-brainers. And what meditation does, it increases the thickness, the joining between the left and the right brain, which is called the corpus callosum. Once you increase the thickness between the left and the right brain, you become a whole brainer. And once you become a whole brainer, it means you are using your left brain and the right brain. So you are using your analytical reasoning knowledge with your imaginative and intuitive power. Then you become, person like Elon Musk, Steve Jobs, Albert Einstein, because they use whole brain. And that is, what I have figured out, and I have seen changes in my life that, I am more imaginative. I am using my intuition that, okay, this thing is going to work for me. So those are the things which definitely cannot be measured. It is not tentative. It's hard for, any normal human being to measure it. But scientifically, they have measured it by ECG that, this is the changes and this is the thing which is happening inside your brain. Because to change is to change your brain. I can, motivate you for 1 or 2 days. You are highly motivated. You will go home. Okay, yes, I wanted to change my life. After 2 days, you will think, yes, I wanted to change it. But the third day, you will say, I will try some other day. So that's the reason motivation doesn't last. And that is the reason, we have to change, see how we can change our brain. And the third thing, which I wanted to mention is what scientifically has been proven is increases the size of the hippocampus, which is the learning and memory center. Once this, it is correlated to the number of years you are depressed. So the number of years you are depressed, the size of the hippocampus will decrease. And 8 weeks of meditation will increase the size and volume of this hippocampus, which means you can store more memory and you can learn new things. So these are the three, main reason. Most of the other things people definitely know about it. It makes you calmer, relaxed. But these are the scientific reason, because if you have knowledge, you are more inclined to do, meditation rather than not doing it.
Thank you for sharing all that. I think, it just sounds like once you do meditation, you get a little calmer, and then it opens up so many more, avenues that you never thought possible, which is great. I've done a little meditation myself, so I have a bit of an idea on that. And I was kind of interested to find out about you that one of the things that I guess opened up for you is you started running half marathon, full marathon when you're in your 40s and you never ran much at all before, and it's almost like kind of opened up a new world for you there. So just wondering, like, how is that kind of training go? Because I'm a runner myself, and I gotta say that's pretty impressive to run, a full marathon in short order. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
So, as I say, when I started my journey of self-transformation, once I included meditation, I started walking. So I used to go for maybe 15 or 20 minutes, walk 4 or 5 times a day. And after doing it for 1.5 years, my body told me, okay, I'm ready to run now. And I'm kind of a person who have never run a mile in my whole life. So I decided, okay, I will run a mile with my son. So I run my first mile with my son, and after completed that, I thought, this is easy. I can do, something, bigger than a mile. So I decided to run a 5 mile by myself. Once I ran that 5 mile, I thought, okay, I have to do something, bigger in my life. Then I decided to do a half marathon, which, after doing a four practice run, I decided, okay, I'm going to run my half marathon and see, how far I can reach. And once I have completed my half marathon, it has given me so much of confidence. It boosted my confidence. I think, I can do, much bigger things. And, I was slowly coming out of my negativity. Meditation was helping me, and this was giving me a boost and confidence that, I have so much potential. And once I have finished that half marathon, I decided, okay, I wanted to do a full marathon. And again, Ben, as you know, that you are a runner, it's not easy to run a full marathon. 26.2 miles is not a joke for a novice who has never run a mile whole his life. But I practiced it, I put my efforts, and after 3 months of practice, I ran my first marathon in 4 hours and 20 minutes. And it completely changed my life. As you have known that, you are a completely different person from the starting point and once you finish the marathon. So I was a completely different person. I was more positive. I have the confidence to, change this whole world. So again, it's a slow process, and I have learned so much, and anybody can change their life by implementing small things. Like, we have to take control of this mind. Again, I will go back to the mind thing, that if I tell you, Ben, that you have to run 3 miles tomorrow, your mind is going to say, no, I'm not going to run 3 miles. I'm not used to it. But if I say you have to just, walk a block tomorrow, you will say, okay, it's a piece of cake. Again, same thing you can apply to anything. If I say, okay, you have to read just one line tomorrow, it's easier to run, read one line rather than reading, 10 pages. So you have to implement small changes in your life, and slowly it will lead you to bigger things in your life.
So Sanjeev, it sounds like, yeah, there's a lot of self-talk and there's a mental battle that kind of goes on every day, staying consistent. And part of that is, I just wanted to touch a little bit more about the running side here. So what, as a runner, it gets to a point sometimes during a long run, your mind starts tricking you, your body starts playing tricks on you. Like, what do you do to, remain in control and say, hey, you know what? I've ran a long distance before. I'm going to keep going. Yeah, I might feel a little bit sore. Like, what do you do? What do you say in your mind, like, to, control that and keep you on track?
A few things, as you have said, I tell my mind, okay, I have done it before, so I can definitely do it today also. And our mind is not a muscle, but it acts like a, muscle. We have to train our mind like a muscle. It's a muscle memory. And once this mind is trained, that, you have to teach this mind, and you have to train this mind that you can do it. Once this mind is trained, this body will follow it. This is very easy to do it, once your mind is convinced. And that is the training, or that is the habits you have to develop it so that you can, reach your full potential. You have to, train your mind to work for you rather than you working for your mind.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So I want to kind of switch gears here a little bit. You did the meditation, you got into running, and a lot of learnings there. And then later on, you developed this wellness app called Luvo. So I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about, like, what was the inspiration behind creating that app?
So before I created the app, I wrote my first book, The Man with Zero Talent, in 2021. So once I wrote that book, it is all about coming out of negativity to positivity and how to become a better version of yourself. And I wanted to reach more people, more audience. So I thought, okay, the book is there. Why don't I make an app which can reach a wider range of audience? That led me to make my app, which is called Luvo. It's a free app. And I think you can, develop yourself by, reaching different directions. Like you have to do meditation, you have to do exercise, you have to eat healthy, and you have to do cold showers. These are the things which I have implemented in my app. And definitely there are other things like gratitude. Gratitude is again a most important factor if you want it to be happy. So there are a lot of factors which is involved in Luvo. It's not only about meditation, it's about overall health and development of a person. And that is the ultimate, benefit to the users, how you can overall improve your life. It's not about meditation, it's not about exercise, it's about, living a life which is happy, healthy, and successful. And that's what everybody is looking for, in this life. That is the purpose, and that is what every human being from 16 to, 65 is forcing or, looking forward to.
So it sounds like the app and then your book, that was kind of like a culmination of all the different, journeys that you've kind of been on, and a way to kind of pay it forward to help other people. So just on that note of the app, and I'm curious, and I'm sure there's some of us in the audience are curious too. We've all had different ideas how to create an app. Maybe you can tell us a little about like how like that creative process was to develop the app. Just wondering, you develop all the content on yourself, or do you have a team of people? And yeah, how did you find, I guess the people to put that all together?
The initial concept, came into my mind. Okay, I wanted to create an app. Then initially I started, developing my own content. As I, mentioned that, meditation helps us to be imaginative, it helps to be creative. So, everything was inside my mind. I have a vision. Okay, I wanted to create an app. Then I started looking for the developers who will do the coding because, I do, I, my expertise is in content, but I don't know anything about development side, like coding. So I found a team in India who is developing this app. So I give them all the information. Okay, this is the way I want the app to be. All the content is provided by me. I don't have anybody else right now. And the developers try to work on, okay, this is what I want, and they will try to create and make the app the way I have, told them to make it. So it has been an interesting journey. And, the best example I can give you about Mark Zuckerberg, as he said, when he started building the Facebook, his only intention was to, connect the Harvard University. He thought, somebody else or somebody else is going to connect this whole world. So again, you have to take the first step in faith. Okay, this is what I'm going to do it. And find, your path along the way. And that's what I have done it. I never thought that I can reach this far. But again, it's, going inside, diving deep, finding, solutions to the problem, which is coming every single day, and thinking positive and have a broader perspective of life because you have to see, okay, how it is going to help the end users, because that is the whole point. It's not about making money. It's not about me. It's about, what we can create. That is the ultimate journey.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Sanjeev. So, yeah, you mentioned the book, and it's almost like the app was an extension of the book because you wrote the book first, right? And then you created the app. So, I found the title of your book, like "The Man with Zero Talent," quite interesting because I think a lot of people can relate to the part that everybody starts off with zero talent, and we can kind of go on and make a better life for ourselves, starting from ground zero. Is that kind of like your approach, to just kind of say like, hey, we're all kind of the same and we can kind of grow and build ourselves up? Was that the kind of approach that you were kind of looking at it?
Yes, definitely, Ben. When we are born, we don't have any talents. We develop these talents over a period of time. And once we get interested in one thing, okay, I'm interested in, this domain or this expertise, then you start working on it. And it can be, in the field of sports, it can be in the, field of technology. Like you can take any sportsman like, Andrew Agassi or Michael Jordan. They like one sport and they start developing on that habit or on that sport, and that led them to become better. So nobody is born talented. We have to acquire those talents over a period of time. And that is, the journey which I've taken in my life. I was a very average student. I did not have any special expertise. I was not too intelligent, but I worked extremely hard to develop those talents. And, again, taking back to the brain thing, because, I try to discover everything scientifically, what happens in our brain. Like we have 100 billion neurons in our brain, and each neuron has 10,000 connections. And how do you become better? These neurons connect to each other. And when you are repeating one thing, these neurons will form a long chain. And once you have repeated it so many times, it will have a myelin sheath over that connection. It means that you can do it without even thinking. And that's what happens with, these sportsmen, that they have, done it so many times that they don't have to think it. So learning is the key to become better at any field. If you are keep learning, keep developing yourself, you will definitely become, good and best in that domain in 5 years. You don't have to be talented. You have to put in your time and effort to develop that skill. So again, nobody is born talented. You have to, work hard, focus it, and keep developing yourself.
Wow, well said, Sanjeev. Yeah, those are some great insights there. So I'm just kind of curious, there's a lot of people I know that are curious of thinking, maybe writing a book. What was your creative process for writing this book? Like, did you go to, a sunny island spot and put a pen to paper, notepad? Like, how did you go and put things all together for the book?
First, I, decided what I wanted to write about. I have everything in my head. Now I wanted to put in the paper, so I have the main topics. I have decided, these are the 10 chapters which I wanted to write about. Once I have, that is the outline, okay. And then I decided working on one chapter at one time. And I don't want the book to be too big. I want it to be as short and, as precise and to the point. But still it's around 250 pages. But the whole process is I wrote one chapter at one time, and then I worked it, three or four times on one chapter to make it sound good. Because again, the process of writing is you just write it what is in your mind initially. You write four or five pages, then you rework on it, make it better. Then again, you rework it, refine it and make it, much better than the day before. And that's how the process of writing, and that's how the process of any creative thing happens. You cannot create anything working on just one time, like giving a speech, giving a presentation also. You have to work on that presentation at least, 10 times to make it presentable. If you wanted to give a presentation only one time, it will not sound good. So again, it's a process of writing and rewriting and rewriting. And then it comes to a point you think, okay, this is good enough to present it to the world. Definitely, if I would have invested 6 more months, I would have written it, much better. But at one point, you have to say that, this is enough and I have to let it go. Because, if you start working on one thing, we can, spend our whole life working on just one thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, thanks for sharing a little bit about that creative process. Always curious to see how everyone kind of goes about and does their thing in their own little way. So yeah, that's amazing. So without giving too much away about the book, I was wondering if you could share maybe some of the key highlights, the stories, ideas, and maybe like the tools about the book. And yeah, just give the audience a little flavor of what the book's all about.
So the first chapter of the book is Life is Messy. As you all know that, life is hard, life is difficult. And we always think, why this is happening to me? And everybody thinks like that way. Okay, if something bad happens to us, we think, okay, why this is happening to me? And why God is not helping me? But the main reason is everybody's life is hard. And if I look back to my parents' life, their life was simple, but they have difficulties, they have problems. So we have to, understand the basic concept that, life is hard for everyone. And once you understand that, okay, this happens with everyone, then it's easier to manage your own life. I can definitely assume that, my son will fail at least, a couple of times in his life as I have failed in my life. If I look back in my life from the age of 16, I have been failing every 5 years miserably, and I have to reinvent myself every 10 years. So the first chapter is about life is messy, and it's all about moving forward and doing the things which you think is important to us. And the second thing is you always have a choice. We think, okay, somebody is going to help, or something is going to miraculously change your life. It does not happen. You have a choice to change your life. If you want it to be fit and healthy, you have to go to the gym. That is your choice, and nobody can take a choice on behalf of you. And if you want to be rich and successful, you have to work hard and stop procrastinating. And that is again your choice. So you have to make those choices by yourself, and nobody can help you in that matter. And the third thing is learning is the key. We can learn anything new at any age. I started learning at the age of 37, and I never thought that, my life will change so much drastically. I have changed my life upside down in the last 4 or 5 years. And Ben, frankly speaking, I was a very nervous, petrified of public speaking. If you would have told me 5 years back that I would be speaking publicly, I would say no, that is not a possibility. I cannot do that. But slowly after working it, I'm so confident that, I wanted to change the world. I'm confident about, speaking what I have learned in my life. So these are the changes which happen, and the first chapter is about, life is messy and we have to move forward. The second chapter is about moving forward. We have negativity, we have, and how to go from negativity to positivity. Because, it's all about our brain is telling, okay, you cannot do it, life is hard, but still we have to take the best decision or the best foot forward in any kind of situation. It can be, you are having issue with your job. It can be, having an issue with your family, or it can be having a disease. Any kind of situation, you have to put the best foot forward and see, what can come out of that situation. Because you cannot just, leave your life behind and think, okay, it will change by itself, which does not happen. So we have to move forward in any kind of situation, and that is about, the second chapter, how to move forward and what you can do in any given situation. And the third chapter is about Kaizen, which is a Japanese word which is called small consistent change over a period of time. As I have mentioned you that, our brain is, the role of the brain is to keep yourself safe, to keep you in a position which is comfortable. But if we are doing small consistent changes, your brain does not revolt against the decision which you have taken it. do small consistent change over a period of time, and if you just assume from now to 1 year, if you are doing a change of 0.0%, you will improve yourself by 37 times. In any domain, it does not matter. It can be your health, it can be your finances, it can be your personal development. So do small consistent changes so that you can trick your mind to do what you intended to do.
You mentioned that consistency is really a key. And I think, you know, just for myself and knowing, you know, friends, other people out there, being consistent all the time, it's sometimes a really challenging for people. I'm just wondering, through your being a practitioner yourself about consistency, is there any like special tip or tricks like to keep being consistent every day? And just wondering, what were your learnings for that over the years?
So like I have a routine which I follow every single day, or even if I say not every single day, at least 4 or 5 times a week. If you, you know, follow these habits, definitely you will be consistent in what you wanted to do. The first habit is about meditation. You know, I wake up, I will do meditation for 15 to 20 minutes. Once I do meditation, I will go in my treadmill. I will run for 1.5 to 2 miles. That is the optimum which I have decided for me. Okay, you know, if I do 1.5 miles, you know, my mind is not restless. You know, I'm able to focus my mind to do what I wanted to do it. Because it's all about training the mind and focusing the mind to what you wanted to do. When you are running, you cannot think about what you are going to eat. You have to focus on the next step. The energy has to go to the next step because, you know, after a while, you have to put all your effort, okay, in the next step. You just think about the next step. You cannot think about, you know, how far you want it to go. It's all about the next step. So it means you are doing meditation at the same time when you are doing, you know, running or jogging. So if I do it for 1.5 miles, you know, again, you know, I'm in the process of meditation, but, you know, I'm making myself physically active. And, you know, there are so many benefits of exercise, like it releases endorphins and dopamine. So again, those are the happy chemicals which is released in your mind and in your body. There are so many changes which happens when you do exercise. So mind and body are not two different things. It is all interwoven. When you are, you know, making your body active, your mind is going to be active and healthy. Third thing which I do is cold showers. So I will go, you know, once I have done my exercise, I will go, you know, take my warm shower, and then I will, you know, switch on the cold showers, and I can do it for, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. Initially, I started with, you know, 10 or 15 seconds. And again, what happens when you, you know, switch on the cold shower, you know, it touches, when the cold water touches your body, your lungs breathe in. You have to breathe in and you have to concentrate at that time only about the cold shower. You have how to, you know, deal with this cold. And all the blood is supplied to all over the body because you are breathing and you are, you know, supplying all the blood to all over your body. So again, it's a kind of focus and training your mind. And once you have trained your mind for, you know, like this take, the whole process take around 40 minutes. Once I have, you know, meditated, done my exercise, cold showers, you know, I am fresh, I'm energetic. My body is all, you know, ready to go. And my mind is all controlled. It does not, you know, question me what I have to do next. So it's a process, you know, which you have to follow it. Even if you're doing it for 4 or 5 days, it will take you to a journey where you want it to take you to that path, because it's all about training your mind and being consistent. And once, you know, some of the days, definitely, as you mentioned, that you don't feel like doing it. But you, once you have seen these benefits, you know that, you know, even if I don't feel like doing meditation, let me, you know, go for a walk. Once your body is feeling energetic, you will feel good. Once you feel good, you will think clearly. You will think positive. So So you can go either way. You can come through the way of meditation. Once your mind is clear, your body will be more energetic. So I have written in my book, The Law of Reversibility, which means if you are changing your mind, you are changing your body. And once you are changing your body through exercise, you can change your mind. So it works as a law of reversibility. You can change your mind or body either way. And again, you know, once you have the knowledge that, you know, this is the way you can do it. When I was struggling, I don't know what to do in my life. I was struggling. And there was not a roadmap for me to do, okay, you know, this is the path or this is the way to do it. And that is my goal or purpose in my life, to push myself and to help others learn and grow at the same time. And if I tell you, you know, these are the three techniques, so these are the tools which you can use in your life, and you have seen and you have read scientifically that it is helping or this is helpful, definitely you are going to implement in your life. So again, it's all about, it's not about motivation, it's about changing your body physically and mentally. And once you have these routines, it will help you go forward. We cannot be positive all the time because we have a structure in our brain, which is amygdala, which is the fight and flight system. Or, you know, that is the reason, Ben, we survived, or, you know, we were not the strongest or we were not the fastest. But why did we survive? Because of this amygdala. You know, we fear. Fear is the thing which stops us from doing new creative things. Once you have a grip of this fear center, you are more open to taking challenges, to venture into new things. So we are trying to take control of a part in our brain, which is very primitive, which has helped us survive, you know, and still survive. And we wanted to have a better control so that we can live a life which is happy, healthy, and fruitful. And by using these habits, you can have a little bit control of your amygdala, and which will help you definitely in your way to make yourself better and bigger than before.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Sanjeev. I love that stuff about the cold showers. I actually recently started that program myself, and it definitely gives me a jolt of energy and kind of snaps your body up and wakens you up a little bit. I've been trying to convince some of my friends to do that. I think they're, you know, not quite there yet, but so yeah, that's great. And another thing you kind of mentioned is that you got to remember, you know, the things that you've done before and the successes that you've done before, in the event that you kind of, you know, take a step back on things. Is that one of the key ways of you know, to keep going?
Means, Ben, it will come along the way. Like, you know, once you are doing it, you will see the changes in your life. Once you see the changes, you don't want to become the older version of yourself. You know, if somebody will tell me whether you wanted to go to your older version, I will say, no, definitely never. I don't want to go to that state of negativity ever. I know some of the days it feels hard, but I wanted to go in a path which is positive, which is fruitful, which is, you know, in a state of happiness. So that is the reason which pushes myself. Again, you know, your why. Again, you know, it might be, okay, my why is more stronger. That might help you push, you know, forward myself, because I definitely think positive. I definitely think, okay, you know, what is the bigger outcome? And my biggest role is I wanted to help others at the same time. I wanted to see that how far I can push myself. Because, Ben, as you know, that we all have potential. If we have potential, how far we can reach ourselves. And again, it's all about, you know, pushing yourself a little bit every single day. And if you are pushing yourself, you are definitely growing yourself. You are becoming better. And that propels me to, you know, okay, you know, I wanted to see how far I can, you know, go forward. I've seen changes in my life. I'm doing good. But that is not where I wanted to leave it. I wanted to see, you know, what is the best version I can leave in. And that helps me to push forward. And my biggest goal is I wanted to help others at the same time. That, you know, makes me, you know, more positive, more outgoing, and try to take more chances in my life.
Thanks for filling us in on that one. So, as far as helping other people out, you mentioned in some of the stuff I've read about you online, people have challenges, with things that are out of their control, and it's a mindset thing. And it's like so many people have that challenge, and I used to have that challenge before. And just wondering, like, what is your process, when you're dealing with something that's out of your control that might be typically negative? Do you have any, tips or pointers that you could share on that?
Definitely, yes. As the Dalai Lama has said, that if you can change something, definitely work on it. You know, if it is under your control, if you can think, okay, you know, this is the change I can do, it definitely work on it. But if you think, you know, this is out of your control, you cannot do anything about that situation, don't worry about it. When it is not under your control, you cannot do anything. What you can do is, you know, control what is controllable. And what is controllable is your mind. If you can keep your mind outside of that thought, because we live in our thoughts, you know, as I said, you know, we have 70,000 thoughts. And if I'm constantly thinking about my problem, I am only thinking about that situation. And how can I take myself out of that situation by not thinking about that problem? Because I cannot do anything to solve that problem. I can only do what is in my hand, and I can take control of my behavior and my action. I cannot do anything about your behavior, or I cannot do anything about the behaviors of my family or my colleagues. I can tell them, okay, you know, these are the things which might be helpful. But if they don't want to change, if they don't want to do anything, wasting your time and resources, you know, thinking about that problem is not going to benefit you. So some of the things you have to just leave it, not think about it, and try to think about, you know, what you can do to help yourself.
Gotcha. Yeah, great advice, Sanjeev. And I just want to kind of touch off on, because you've done like a lot of personal development work, and over the years, I'm sure you've met different people, heard different speeches, different things. Are there any like a couple of people that really stand out that really inspired you, like and inspired your work over the years? I wonder if you could just share maybe a story or two about somebody that's really inspired you.
You know, the one person which definitely inspired me, or the book I can say that definitely inspired me, is The Man's Meaning for Search by Viktor Frankl. And that is the book which has completely changed my life. And I use that book as a Bible. And I will definitely recommend all your users, if you wanted to read just one book, read that book, The Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And if you are in a state of, you know, complete negativity, or how to, you know, come out of that negativity, it will give you insight, it will give you, you know, hope, and it will give you a process. It has a deep meaning in that life, in that book, that, you know, what, how can you find a meaning and purpose in life? And that is when everybody's looking for, you know, I was looking for what is, you know, why I am waking every single day. What is the meaning in my life? And as Viktor Frankl has mentioned in his book, you know, we can find meaning in three things: in work, doing something, you know, creative, doing something which is amazing. We can find a meaning. Okay, I'm doing something which is meaningful in my life. So that is the first thing. The second thing which he wrote is caring about somebody else. And it can be, you know, caring for your child, or caring to your parents, or to your friends. If you're caring and loving to somebody, it gives a meaning to your life, that I'm doing something to help somebody else. First thing you can find meaning is in courage and difficult times. When your life is falling apart, you have the courage to take the step forward, and doing the necessary things to change your life will definitely give a meaning to your life. So this book has so much insight, and it will help you find the meaning. And I use it as a Bible, and I read it, you know, every week, maybe a couple of times a week, to understand, you know, the concept of what he has written in that book.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll have to put that on my list to read, I guess, next time when I get to the library. So during your journey of personal growth, personal development, I'm curious, you know, your take, since you are a father, like how has this journey made you a better father?
Oh, definitely, yes. You know, I can definitely say that I am a better father because of this self-transformation journey, because I wanted to be a role model to my son. Now we think, okay, kids don't, you know, watch us. You know, kids are like a magnet. They will watch you, they will reciprocate, you know, what you are trying to do it. And that is the process, you know, every parent should do it, because when the kid is 3 or 4 year, or they are 10 also, they will see that what their parents are doing, how they are behaving, how they are reacting, what is their, you know, like how they are pushing themselves. They will, you know, same thing they will replicate in their life. My son, you know, watches me. You know, I have seen that in my son's behavior, that he will watch his dad, what I am doing. And there was, you know, there was a story behind it, that when I was, you know, trying to run a marathon, you know, I used to share my, you know, experiences with him. Oh, you know, I'm working, you know, this much. I have, you know, practiced this much. I'm going, you know, 5 miles today. And after I finished my marathon, he told dad, I wanted to run a 5 mile with you. So, you know, I see, okay, you know, it is giving him the inspiration to run, because, you know, I am doing it. And, you know, he eventually ran a 5 mile at the age of 8, which I was so surprised, and I never forced him to do it. And that motivates me more, that, okay, if my son can learn from me, and if I can be a role model to him, why don't I do the things which is good and which will make him better in his life? And even if he's not, you know, learning anything right now, maybe when he's old enough, 25 or 30, he will see that how his dad worked and behaved and how he carried himself. Maybe he will reflect back at that time and do the things which I'm doing right now.
Wow, that's very inspirational, and maybe we'll see him at the Olympics one day, since he's starting running way earlier than you did. So yeah, no, that's great to hear. So as we get closer to the end of this podcast, I like to leave it on a positive note, and I like to ask all my guests this question here. So here goes. What are you most grateful for, and what are you most looking forward to in the future?
The most grateful person I can say is my son and my mom, who is not here in this world. They give me the inspiration to push me myself every single day. And I wanted to be a role model, as I said before, to my son. And I wanted to do the good things in this world and in this society, that, you know, when I die, I wanted to leave something which is useful, something which is beneficial to the other human being at the same time. That, you know, motivates me, that inspires me, and that pushes me to do the things which is necessary in spite of being hard. Because, you know, when we are pushing ourselves, definitely it is hard, it is not easy. But when you have a bigger picture, that you are doing it not for yourself, you are doing that for your son, you are doing it for your mom, that it makes it a purpose, it makes it meaningful for you to do it. So that is the reason I wanted to do these things, and I'm grateful that I have my son, I have a family, I have good friends, and I wanted to see how far I can reach in my life and how I can benefit this society. because there are so many people who are struggling in this world. They don't know what has to be done or what has to be do to the, make their life better. So my purpose is what I can leave a roadmap. I can do a leave a life which is, you know, meaningful and purposeful, so that they can live a life which is happy, healthy, and successful, and they can have a life which is meaningful.
Sanjeev, it's been an honor having you on the show. If people want to know more about you, where can they find you?
They can go to my website, www.zesttolive.com. That is my website, and it gives them an insight about my free app. I will definitely tell users to download this free app and check out how they can benefit it. And I can definitely assure that if they are using it for 6 to 8 weeks, it will help them move forward and, you know, bring them to a state of positivity.
Sanjeev, thanks for sharing that. We're going to add that to our show notes. So that's a wrap for episode 2, everyone. Thank you for joining us, and namaste, everyone.